as we turn the page and head towards the Falcons, this has been a pretty impressive job that Thomas Dimitroff and Mike Smith have done down there. Really a good-looking football team. They do an awful lot of things well. Very good running the ball, throwing it, just in general moving the ball on offense. They have good personnel, talented, skilled players, tight end, back, quarterback, big physical offensive line. And they're real fast on defense. They're an explosive team. They've already caused a lot of turnovers and taken the ball away with their speed. They run a lot of plays down from behind. They play hard. They're physical at the point of attack. They're a hard-hitting defensive unit. Good in the kicking game. Just a real solid football team. And they're very very disruptive and. On defense and offensively, they have a lot of weapons and they give you a lot of different looks. They cause you a lot of problems defensively with all the different things that they do. So, you know, it's a team we don't know very well. Obviously, haven't played them in a while, and when we did play them last, they've had a lot of changes since then. So, we've got a lot of work to do, and on both sides of the ball and in all three phases of the game. And as I said the last couple of days, we've got a regardless of who we play or what we play, we just got to play better and coach better and just do a better job all the way around. So those are some of the things we're focusing on today.
Go ahead with your questions, guys.
Bill, could you detail how you first got hooked up with Thomas Dimitroff when you hired him in New England?
Well, I worked with Thomas's father, Tom Sr., at the Browns. And Tom was a scout on that staff with Mike Lombardi, Ozzie Newsome, Don Neely, Jimmy Schwartz, Phil Savage, Milt Davis, all those guys. And he was, you know, a hard-nosed, tough former coach, you know, from Indiana, very, you know, old-school type of mentality. And Tom Sr. always was very... If he said a kid was tough, you knew he was tough, and you know he was, you know, he was a football player. And I think his son, Thomas, certainly, you know, picked up on that. And, you know, he, after college, you know, worked for a couple other teams, the Browns, and finally we ended up with him here. And, you know, he did a real good job running our scouting department and you know, adjusting some of the things that we were doing. Grading wise and evaluations and things like that. We, you know, overhauled a little bit of that as the game, you know, has changed over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. The players and the systems that they play in and the type of things that they're asked to do. And so that was, you know, he played a big part in that. And then, you know, he's gone down to Atlanta and done a great job down there in a pretty short amount of time. Very, very impressive, the team he's built and put together, and the way they play and just the way they do things. They're pretty good.
So what has impressed you the most with what he's done? I've heard some people say, you know, it was a bold decision to go for Matt Ryan in the draft. Is there any move that he's made, I guess, that stands out to you?
Well, I certainly, the Matt Ryan selection was a good one. I mean, that kid looks like a polished NFL quarterback. He reads coverage as well, gets the ball to all his receivers, has a lot of poise, handles himself well in end-of-the-game situations, audibles, check with me at the line of scrimmage, all those kind of things. And we watched him quite a bit in the offseason, and I think the acquisition of Gonzalez has made a huge impact on their offensive football team. It's probably opened up a lot of things in the running game, and they have a very good group of backs. And also in the passing game to attack the middle of the field and also keep some of the coverage off the outside on White and Jenkins and make you worry about what's going on inside. Gonzalez has already had a real productive two games. He was productive in the preseason as well. They've done a good job with him scheme-wise of getting him matched up in some advantageous situations, and Ryan's, you know, been able to pick those out and get it to him, and then when teams have tried to take him away, then he's been able to come back to White in the running game and Jenkins So he's, you know, they've done a good job, and probably Gonzalez was, you know, that was certainly a good addition. I mean, Perry's a real good football player, too. I know he got hurt last weekend, but he was a good addition defensively. He's, you know, he's played very well in the preseason and in the first couple games here when, you know, he jumped in there. He's a hard guy to block, so I'm sure he'll be a good football player for him as well.
Bill, where is Patrick Chung at in his development process, and is he at a point where he could play defensively, play a significant number of snaps, or is he still kind of in the process of learning the defense?
Well, I think all of our rookies are in the process of learning whatever it is they're doing, offense, defense, special teams. But I think that they're all the ones that are on the roster are capable of playing and either have played or will play. Have played extensively in preseason and will play at some point, depending on game plan situation and some other circumstances. Maybe some in their control, maybe some not in their control. But Patrick definitely would fall into that category. He's got a lot to learn, and he's learning it, and he's played, and he's done a good job for us when he's been in there on defense and in the kicking game, and he's got a real good future ahead of him. It's exciting to work with him. And Darius, too, in the secondary, for that matter. So I think that they're headed in the right direction, no question about it.
So what drew you to Brandon McGowan, to sign him as a free agent? What characteristics that you saw from him did you like?
Well, really, pretty much everything he did was impressive, defensively and in the kicking game. He runs well. He's athletic. He's a hard-hitting guy. He covers a lot of ground. Pretty instinctive, reads things well, does a good job in pass coverage. You know, really became a starting safety for the Bears, and then, you know, got injured, missed some time, had a couple, had a couple setbacks there in terms of not being able to play. But from an ability and a production standpoint, when he was in there, you know, he did a lot of good things on defense and in the kicking game. Did a good job blocking in the return game. Covers well, like I said, tackles well in the open field, you know, has good range, is a good space player. So I think there's really a lot of things to like about his game.
In terms of where he's fitting within the defense, could you draw any parallels to what Rodney Harrison, just in terms of role, not necessarily production, any parallels to what he did to what Brandon either could do or has done to this point?
Well, I mean, over the course of time that Rodney was here, you know, we have been to do quite a bit. Brandon's been in some different roles, and he's done a good job, but just been a much shorter amount of time, you know, much fewer games and smaller window and all that. So, you know, where all that goes and how extensive that becomes, we'll just have to see. But certainly he's a versatile player that has some flexibility. Can do different things, can play close to the line of scrimmage, can play further away from the line of scrimmage, has shown an ability to play man and zone coverage, and as I said, tackle in the open field, and plays with good speed and range, and he's tough. So we'll see where all that goes, but I think he certainly has the ability or the potential to be a, you know, have flexibility in our defensive plans, yes.
Bill, have you guys been limited at all offensively, just from a personnel standpoint of the last two games, only being able to draft four receivers, one of whom has been Sam Aiken, who's a huge special teams contributor as well, and only the two tight ends? Has that affected you guys at all from an offensive game planning standpoint, or limited you at all?
Well, I think that for the most part, any time you address a player, you know, to be accurate for the game, he's probably going to have a role on your team now, you know, the backup quarterback or maybe a backup lineman that might not necessarily be true for, but for the most part, all the other players, those guys are very significant, have some kind of significant role on the offense or defense, and then, or they're a very valuable backup that you just feel like without that person, you just don't have depth to do what you need to do with that position, and probably that player would back up more than one spot if he was that valuable there. So, you know, those are kind of the choices. So whoever's on the roster, whether it's on game day, whether it's a fifth receiver or a third tight end or a, you know, eighth or ninth defensive back or an eighth or ninth linebacker or whatever it is, then that person's going to have a strong role, whether it's on their side of the ball or in the kicking game, or it might be a combination of both. And so those decisions are made week to week based on, you know, the role that those players would have or the depth that they give you, that, and you feel like you need that. But I definitely would say we've been able to run our offense the last 2 weeks. Would we like to have more depth at positions? Sure, but you can't have depth at every position, so whichever one you decide to have depth at, that means you have a little bit less depth somewhere else. And that's kind of the reality of those 45-man game day rosters on a week-to-week basis. It's almost never exactly the way you hope it'll be. It's just the best you can do.
Bill, where would you assess Terrence Wheatley is at this point, and why hasn't he been inactive in the first two games? And also related to that, if you kind of feel that he might be...
Why hasn't he been inactive?
I mean, why has he been inactive in the first two games? And do you feel at all that he might be losing ground? I mean, you have five corners on the roster. You have a rookie, Darius Butler. Do you kind of feel that he could be losing ground in that cornerback battle?
Yeah, it's a kind of a long question there. I don't want to get distracted, but can you kind of rephrase that? And is the question about Butler or Wheatley or exactly what, or the whole cornerback situation?
Just to simplify, where's your assessment of Terrence Wheatley at this point? How is he doing? How has he looked? And why has he been inactive in the first two games?
Well, you know, Terrence hurt his knee in the Washington game, and you know, he missed a little time with that, so that's been part of the, since the Washington game, that's been part of the, you know, part of the situation. But it's kind of the explanation that I just gave. If we could take all 53 players to the game, we'd take all 53, or more than that if we could, and they probably would all have a role. As you saw in preseason, we played a lot of people, and if we had that many, we'd play them, but we don't. So the 45 that we select are the ones that either are the healthiest or the ones that we feel like will have the most positive contribution in the total team concept for that particular game. And so those are the ones that we pick. If we had 46, would that player play in the game? I would say 90% of the time I'm sure that he would. But that's not an option. So Terrence is practicing, and you know, whichever players we select to play in this game will be the ones that we think have the biggest role and give us the best chance to win. That doesn't mean that other players aren't good players, or they wouldn't contribute, or they wouldn't have a role, or they wouldn't play. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that we're not allowed to bring them.
It's still very early on in the process, obviously, but it looks like Sam Akin has taken more of a leadership role this year, primarily as a special teams captain. How has he done in that position two games in?
Real good. I think Sam's done an excellent job with the special teams as a captain and really stepping up as a leader. You know, Larry had been our captain here for whatever it was, 6-7 years, and that was a big, you know, kind of a big void there. And Sam jumped into that in the spring, and he was, you know, one of the captains in preseason, and then was, I don't know if it was unanimous or nearly unanimous, but, you know, he was pretty much selected by everybody on the team as the special teams captain. He had tremendous support from, you know, from all stations on the team, and I think that was, you know, something that he's earned through his performance, through his hard work and attitude towards his role in the kicking game. And he's, you know, he's really on top of things. He does a lot of, we ask him to do a lot of things for us. He works hard at them, and he does a good job. And I think he's done an excellent job in kind of providing, you know, some leadership and direction and, you know, the kind of the right attitude for, you know, the players that are on the special teams unit. He represents them, and I think he represents them very well.
Take a final question.
Phyllis, just wanted to ask you about running back screen passes. Again, you know, one line of thinking, I guess, when the team blitzes as much as the Jets did, is that a screen could be a good way to counter that. I'm curious if those were in the game plan and they just weren't the right time to call them, or if there was a reason that it seemed like you stayed away from those.
Well, you know, with what the Ravens, the Jets do, what the Jets do defensively, most of their blitzes are man-to-man blitzes. They like to bring five players, and then if you block a player up, block two up, so you have six or seven guys in on protection, the guys who have that man-to-man usually follow them right in. So there's not a lot of space a lot of times between your backs and tight ends, those players, and the guys who are covering them. And, of course, one of the keys on the screen is to be able to, you know, get it started, get the ball to the back or tight end or whoever you're screening to, adding some space to the blocker in front of them. And with as much man coverage as they play, you know, it's kind of feast or famine. If you could block a guy who's covering that player, then you might have a lot of space. But if you can't get them, and they're pretty hard to get because they're so close, a lot of times it's hard for the linemen to even know who that player is that has them. So if you could get them, then you'd get the back out there and you'd have a lot of space to work. If you don't, then you got only one guy open on the, you know, only one guy throw to on the pattern, and if that guy who's covering him is right on him, you don't have much. So, you know, the Jets haven't been screened a whole lot this year. Not saying you can't do it, but it's, you know, there's definitely some downside to it. And there's maybe a little more big play opportunity with it if you get it than against some other teams. But that's a little tricky to screen a team like that when you don't really know who's covering the guy that you're screening to, and that's the guy you really got to get.
Thanks. All right, everyone. Thank you, Coach.
All right, thanks. We'll see you tomorrow.